But I've been praying a few weeks ago about what to share today, and I'm just going to start to delve into, and we'll pick it up down the road when I come back from a little vacation time, our spiritual immune system. And, you know, this time of the year, our spiritual immune system, maybe we don't think about it a whole lot, but our physical immune system, I think we think about it a little bit more because it is cold and flu season out there. Shook hands with a young sister in Christ this morning, church. After I did, she told me she was, what? Oh, we hugged. That's right. I'm sorry. After we hugged, she told me she'd been sick this week, so I went right to the bathroom and washed my hands. And we all have our remedies to combat physical illnesses because nobody likes to be sick. It's no fun when you're down and out and under the weather. And most of us think about it to some degree, maybe some more than others, and take precautions to guard against sickness. And some of us have our own secret remedies and recipes for combating colds, or we have grandma's secret recipe, grandpa's secret recipe. It's a surefire remedy to prevent us from getting sick. I know when I pastored for 25 years up in Grand Forks, one thing I always requested was at the back of the church when I'm standing there greeting and meeting people before service, then after service, this big jug of hand sanitizer. And I'd shake about three or four hands. I quickly turn and go like that and shake. And some of us wash our hands. Some of us might even wear masks. I know with the coronavirus going around right now, there's a lot of fear and doubt as to how severe this is going to be. Some of us have vitamin recipes. It's surefire vitamin A. Some of us, it's vitamin B. Some of us, it's vitamin C. For some of us, it's D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. But we all have some type of recipe or remedy. And today I want to talk about something more significant, more important, I think of greater significance than our physical immune system is our spiritual immune system, what I've termed the SIS, spiritual immune system. And think about it just for a minute. When was the last time you thought about, in light of all the different things, that precautions we take to guard our physical immune system, when was the last time you thought about your spiritual immune system? Or you ask the question, how healthy am I spiritually? How strong is my SIS, my spiritual immune system? What practices do I employ to guard, to build, or strengthen my spiritual immune system? And I want to begin just a brief overview in Genesis 3. Most of us understand that God created us as three-part beings: spiritual, emotional, and physical. When God breathed into Adam, he breathed into him the breath of life, Job says, the spirit of the Almighty. And it is important, and we see more and more that science, modern day science and modern day medicine, is beginning to catch up with what the Bible has taught for thousands of years and the direct links between all three. Several years ago, it was over 40, I know we were first married. I remember we were living in our little house under the prairie, I called it, on Polk Street up in Grand Forks. It has since been bulldozed down and made way for a new dike. None of these diseases, a Christian author by the name of S.I. McMillan, he wrote this book over 50 years ago with incredible research and the physical nature, the emotional nature, and the spiritual nature of human beings and how they're all interconnected. And what he says in this book is that if you have a physical illness, it's not long before it begins to affect you emotionally, and eventually it affects you spiritually. And conversely, and probably even more so, is if you have spiritual illness, if you have spiritual deficiencies, eventually it starts to affect you emotionally and then physically. It's a two-way street. And the compelling research leaves us with but one conclusion, is that it's good and right to think about our spiritual immune system. Now, I want to be clear that I'm not saying that as Christians we never get sick, or if you catch a cold, you're not spiritual enough, although there might be some Christians out there that believe that way. But the reality is our best shot at physical and emotional health, God has designed it, that it comes through our spiritual immune system. And so my first question, what are some things that you do to stay healthy physically? Maybe exercise is your key to good physical health. Maybe diet is your road to physical health. Maybe it's a combination of vitamins and minerals and supplements. Maybe it's just as simple as avoiding sick people. Especially this time of year, we seem to be enclosed a lot more. But the reality is all of those, diet, exercise, rest, good system of vitamins and minerals, all of it mix and match and give us, I think, an optimum reality for good physical health. And if we were to talk about what would prevent that, I mean, just the opposite. Poor diet, poor rest, not taking care of ourselves. They all play a part. In 2004, a guy by the name of Morgan Spurlock, and some of you have probably, I have never watched the documentary, but I read an overview of it a while back. In 2004, he did a film documentary, Supersize Me. And for 30 days, in 2003, for 30 days, beginning February 1st, he ate nothing but McDonald's food. Has anybody ever seen the documentary? Oh, wow. We got some hipsters in the audience this morning. Was it good? Was it compelling? Tia, you kind of scrinched. Not really? Yeah. But the point was made. He ate nothing but McDonald's food, and I want to be fair to all the other fast food, the Burger Kings, the Wendy's. I'm sure if he would have done the same with any one of those. Three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, he ate McDonald's food. At the end of 30 days, there were some amazing discoveries, in particular the drastic effects on his physical health, but also his psychological health or well-being. He gained 25 pounds. His cholesterol levels went through the roof. Blood pressure started to go up. You know, the things that you could imagine. His liver began to malfunction, or what I read, it began to dysfunction to the place where he was told that if he didn't stop, he would destroy his liver. But also, he began to experience real bouts, real fits of depression associated with that. And so I think he brings new meaning to the words, you are what you eat. But now just lending that same thought, the same question is, do you think about your emotional immune system? How healthy are you emotionally? You know, the joy, peace, contentment, fulfillment, satisfaction. I have a message I did back at Thanksgiving to the hockey team, a chapel message on living thankfully, and did a lot of research on how important it is. But our emotional immune system, God designed it, we see in Genesis 2, He designed it all to be framed in the soul of a man. That is, his mind and a woman. His mind, his will, and emotions. And if you think about those things that make us emotionally healthy, they're really derived out of spiritual roots or spiritual in nature. Joy, peace, contentment, satisfaction, fulfillment, all of those things. But we think about that which can weaken: worry, anxiety, fear, stress, conflict. I just read a report last week. Suicide, the suicide rate in America has gone up 25% in the last 20 years. Not just young people, but all walks of life. James Dobson, a noted Christian psychologist, says this in all of his research on different types of psychological issues that people deal with. He claims that 75% are rooted in depression because of bitterness and unforgiveness. See, we're starting to see this direct link between the spiritual and the emotional. But the reality is, it's just a matter of time before all three of them are interfacing: the spiritual, the emotional, and the physical. And they affect the quality of our lives, the quality of how we view life. And I want to be incredibly sensitive to those that might be battling physical and or emotional issues. And medicine has made tremendous strides and advancements, and they're good and right in the treatment, physically and emotionally. We've seen a tremendous rise and a tremendous awareness in the secular world of holistic healing or holistic medicines, realizing now that we treat the three-part being. In fact, the number one selling books right now in America are on holistic living, holistic healing. But we need to understand that the Bible still is the most significant book on a holistic approach to health and well-being, health and vitality. And we have to understand that God has designed us. Jesus says in 10:10 that I have come to bring life, that is eternal life, but I've also come to bring life, life as we know it on this earth, and I came to bring it abundantly, abundantly. That God designed the believer in Jesus Christ to live abundantly. That is to live fully satisfied, fully content, with purpose and with meaning and with significance. And this morning I just want to focus on what God has done, giving us the best shot at spiritual health via a spiritual immune system. You know, keep in mind now, if you read the Gospel of John, it's good, just a quick overview. In John 14 is where Jesus begins to introduce the idea to his disciples that he's going to leave. I'm going away, he says at the beginning of John chapter 14, and we all know Thomas says, Lord, well, where are you going? He said, well, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then John 15, he begins to outline the last tenets of Christian ministry, Christian life and witness. And now in John 16, he's back telling the disciples that he's going to be leaving soon. But all is not lost. And as David read this morning, is the introduction to the indwelling, the presence of the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. You see, God designed us to live spiritually healthy, vibrant lives. Paul makes it clear in Philippians 2, so that as we live out the good godly life, we shine like stars in the universe. Remember, we talked about we are the light of the world last week. So what does my spiritual immune system do? Well, it acts much like the physical. It guards against disease and sickness. That which is spiritual in nature, predominantly rooted in sin, all forms, all kinds. It guards against the harmful diets, the harmful practices. It guides, it teaches, and we're going to talk about specifically focusing today on the spiritual immune system that is set in motion when a person believes in Jesus Christ. The spiritual immune system is unleashed, unlocked, if you will, when a believer, when a person becomes a believer in Jesus Christ. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual immune system is established by God three ways. First and foremost, by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, 8, 9, Paul writes, "For in Christ Jesus all the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form, and you've been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every spiritual power and authority." Bam, game over. The indwelling, the presence of Jesus. Secondly, the spiritual immune system is established by the power and the authority of the Word of God. The Word of God became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Paul writes in Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is living and active, more powerful than a double-edged sword, able to penetrate to the dividing of the soul." That's man's mind, will, and emotion. The Spirit of the living God. See, it cuts away all that stinking thinking. All that stinking concepts of thought. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Keep that in mind. And lastly, the spiritual immune system is established by the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why I had David read this morning. His divine power, Peter writes, His divine power has given us everything. Now, you all know, what does everything mean? Are we left short of anything? No, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He's given us His very great and precious promises so that we can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. So the spiritual immune system is established by God through the power and authority of Jesus Christ, the power and the authority of the Bible, the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. And we talk about God's blueprint for a vibrant spiritual immune system. It begins by understanding that Jesus initiates it or sets it in motion. He was sent from God. He was sent from God, and it's going to be a new way of life. No longer would we need temple sacrifice. He Himself would become the one great sacrifice. But He initiates a vibrant spiritual immune system. But He also instructed, He illustrated, and of course we know He invites all comers to Jesus Christ. Again, John 10:10, "I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly." So the blueprint is, first, I must have a vibrant walk with Jesus Christ. I must have a vibrant life in Jesus Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead is found in Christ Jesus. Secondly, the Bible instructs. The Bible is the voice of God. I'm going to be teaching on that sometime this spring, on the voice of God. It teaches insights and instructions how to be a good student, how to be a good disciple, a good follower of Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, training in righteousness so that the man of God, the woman of God might be completely or thoroughly equipped. And so I need a healthy diet of God's Word. I love this word from Jeremiah 15:6. The prophet said, "When your words came to me, I ate them." When your words, do you have a hunger for God's Word? "When your words came to me, I ate them." Why? "Because I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty." Christian, we bear the name of Christ. We bear God. And we need a strong diet of God's Word. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit inspires. The Holy Spirit inspires the will of God. His purpose is to influence, impress us, as well as instruct us to follow, to obey, to lead us in all truth and right living. Jesus in John 16, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. See, there's only one truth. There aren't many truths. Just like there aren't many ways to God. There's only one way to God. Only one person holds absolute truth. That's Almighty God. And we have to not only believe it, but we have to bank our lives on it. And so you and I, what do we need? Well, in a word, we need ears. We need ears. Listen to what Jesus Christ says in Revelation 7 times. When Christ is speaking to the church, when Christ is speaking to you and I as Christians, he says this, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says. You know, the disciples really had a tremendous benefit, right? They could walk alongside of Jesus, this physical person, and he could whisper in their ear. He could talk to them. They could hear that physical voice. What an advantage. But you know what Jesus says of those who would come to Christ later? You're more blessed because you believe you haven't seen. And here's the truth, the fundamental truth. And I only share this, impress this upon you, because I hear Christians all the time in counseling, especially in marriage counseling, in college, embracing falsehoods and lies. But God, the Word, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, they all speak and work in one accord. They all speak and work in one accord, and they model perfectly, and this is important, they model perfectly unity, harmony, and purpose. I didn't have much of a line there, but they model perfectly unity, harmony, and purpose. In other words, the Word uses the Spirit uses the Word to accomplish. And they will never exercise themselves outside the scope of the truth of God's Word. See, the Word of God is the will of God. The will of God is the way of God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the will of God. Jesus Christ is the way of God. The Holy Spirit is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the will of God. The Holy Spirit is the way of God. You see, they're always working. When I teach pre-marriage, if you've sat in my pre-marriage, one of the things I talk about is the Trinity of Jesus Christ is Lord of your marriage, the husband and wife, working as the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, there's no conflict. It's perfect unity and harmony. Wouldn't that be nice in marriage? That's why I tell every husband and every wife, pursue and seek Jesus. Amen? Pursue and seek Jesus. So what has God done? Well, what God has done, and that's what we're going to close with our focus today, our spiritual immune system, is the work of the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the guider. Jesus said, if I go, I will send him to you. I think the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 probably best defines how that process takes place in chapter 1, 2 Corinthians 21 and 22. Now it is God who makes, or God who causes us, both you and I, to stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership upon us, and put his Holy Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Right here. Right here. Now, God wants us to see him in creation. God wants to see him, but God wants you to understand. He's right here. He's right here. The living God. The living God is right here. Right here. In your heart. In my heart, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ. It's not just a game changer. It's game over. It's game over. Holy Spirit indwelling. And so the first thing, just briefly, he anoints, he seals, and he deposits. The anointing is an exclusive bestowing. That's why nobody but the believer in Jesus Christ can be anointed with the Holy Spirit, can be in possession of the Holy Spirit. He seals it. This answers the question of, can a believer lose their salvation? It's sealed upon the heart of God. Who can break a seal of God? I can't. I can, in the prodigal son, I can sin to the end of the earth. I don't want to, because I know the wage of sin is death, but it doesn't break the seal of God. We talk about what can happen. And lastly, it's a deposit. It's a deposit. What does a deposit mean? Put into, right? God has been put into my heart. The Almighty has been put into my heart. So we are anointed. Secondly, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin. He convicts. He convicts everything. Everything we do wrong, everything that is wrong. He convicts. Sin, contrary living, anything that is contrary to the Word of God, to the life in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is going to convict you and me. Wrong. Don't go down that path. Don't be led that way. He will convict the world of righteousness and judgment. And that simply means he affirms. He affirms everything that is good about living before God, that's good and right. He convicts of everything that's wrong, but he affirms or he convicts of everything that is good and right. My identity, when I'm right with God, when I'm walking in the way of God. A lot of times we hear that word conviction, we automatically assume, well, that's kind of negative. No, conviction in the form of affirmation. Like the first time I saw my wife's picture in the paper, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit that she was going to be my wife. And I pursued her like a dog on a bone because she didn't have that same conviction. But by the grace of God, I finally got her to see the light. No, I'm just kidding. Verse 13. And number four, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. That is simply, he directs us. He directs us. You know, I, for time's sake, but Paul says in Galatians 5 on the matter of the Spirit, he says these words, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. See, he directs and guides us, and it really is. It really is. You know, God's a God of great detail. Have you ever read the book of Leviticus? When God gets into sacrifice, you know how detailed it is? So we understand that Holy Spirit direction is meant to be step by step, moment by moment. Just like if I picked up my Bible and started reading, God's Word speaks. Well, the Holy Spirit's doing that all the time to direct us and guide us in all truth. All right living. And lastly, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. That simply is he inspires. He inspires us. He unctions us. Everybody ever heard of that word? You know, I'm still amazed when I type up sermons and I type in the word unction. It wants to spell check and say it's wrong. He unctions us, that he inspires us. He impresses upon us anything and everything. And it's simply to reveal. It's to reveal God and the truth of God's word and the truth of God's way and the truth of God's will. His job is to impress upon us, stay the course. Stay the course. I love this verse, Moses in Deuteronomy 29, 29, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, so that we may follow all the words of this law. See, the Holy Spirit is ever desiring to reveal the truth of God and the truth of who God is. I got up this morning, showering, doing my thing, and when I came up, when I went into the bathroom, and this is no indication how long I spend in the bathroom, but when I came out from showering, getting all ready, my wife had Charles Stanley on, and he's talking about the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. I thought, oh, wow, this is really cool. I couldn't listen to any of it, but one of the things he talked about is how the Holy Spirit always wanting to reveal, always wanting to take us to a deeper level of understanding, a deeper level of who this God is. And so verse 13, Jesus says, he will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears. And so the question is, how does the Holy Spirit make God's truths known to us? Well, just like Jesus talking, Jesus says two times, he'll speak to us. He'll speak to us. And so the three questions, how do I hear? How do I listen? How do I know? Well, Paul says in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Remember, Paul wrote in Corinthians that his spirit is in my heart. Your spirit is in your heart. But do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. That's another message for another day, is praying, how praying strengthens our spiritual immune system. But he put his, or excuse me, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, to lay your life before God, your needs, your wants, your fears, your desires, everything, lay it before God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that is kenosis, finite human understanding, that's what our souls are, right? As capable of the human brain is of thought, it's still finite. God says in Psalm 50, you thought I was altogether like you. Now we have this wonderful privilege to be in this dynamic relationship with the living God, and he's even so generously bestowed his presence in our hearts. And continuing to reveal and continuing to reveal. But the one thing, the more I study, the more I know, the humbler we should get. The humbler we should become, living in the presence of God and what he's done. But his peace passes all understanding and guards our hearts and then our minds. So the three things. How do I hear? How do I hear? Jesus said he's going to speak. How do I hear? I hear with my heart. You know, I teach premarriage, and I love teaching this part of it because we've gone through the physiology of a man's brain and body and a woman's brain and body and how much more emotional quotient or emotional intelligence God has wired the women with. It's really fascinating. One of the things I teach is, for example, when your wife says, I feel, she really, guys, is using the word I think. But see, everything for her is passing through her heart. Now, we all have the Holy Spirit. A woman doesn't have it any more than the man. I think she's just more in touch with it. But he speaks to our hearts. How many of you have been impressed upon your heart, this is right or this is wrong? That's God. That's God. See, what a trained mind in the Word of God will do is, if you don't have a trained mind in the Word of God, right here, what's between our ears can easily deceive us. How do I know this? I just got to go to Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve fell. Adam was given the Word. We know Genesis 3:1. Eve was instructed, because she quotes correctly to Satan. Satan's trying to tempt her. Satan's trying to lead her astray. And she quotes correctly. But then he starts to hang out a little emotional. I'm not sure God gave you everything you need. God's left some things out of the equation. You're missing something. You're wanting something. You need something else other than what God has given you. So we have to have a trained mind in the Word. You know, I have followed closely the abortion issue Some of you know my testimony. I went with one of my older sisters when it was first legalized in 1973. I went with one of my older sisters to Massachusetts, the first state in the winter of 74, the first state to perform abortions, and I went with her. I was dead set against it, but I loved her and I went with her. And that ongoing battle that has taken place. And in those early days, and I understand the emotional intensity of the issue of abortion, how wrong it is. But I have encountered in my 40 years of walking with Christ, with Christians who fundamentally say they have no problem with bombing abortion clinics and murdering doctors and nurses. Have anybody ever, I mean, if you check the records, check the archives back in the mid to late 70s, just Google in, is that what you do, Google in? Christians bombing abortion clinics. See, the Holy Spirit is never going to work outside the Word of God. The Word of God is never going to operate. Remember, perfect unity and harmony? Secondly, how do I listen? Ooh, this is the tough one. How do I listen? I obey His convictions. I obey His convictions. Whatever He speaks, if He's calling me to deal with sin, I deal with sin. If He tells me to go, I go. If He tells me to stop, I stop. The only way you're going to experience more and more, the only way we're going to experience more and more of this is by simply just walking in obedience, right? Jesus said, I'm not going to cast. I don't want you casting pearls before swine. I've got a lot of secrets I can reveal to you, but you got to walk in obedience. You got to walk in obedience. Paul writes in that we as believers have a responsibility not to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. And lastly, how do I know? How do I hear? How do I listen? How do I know? Well, we had that old song. Have we ever sang it? Blessed Assurance. Do you know the words? Blessed Assurance, this Jesus is mine. You know it, Michelle? You want to come up and sing it? The dogs will start howling. I don't know. It would for me. Paul tells us it's a peace, a blessed assurance that surpasses all human understanding. You know, you think about Abraham. God had told him at a young age that he was going to be the father of a great nation. All the nations will be blessed. And time ticks away and time ticks away, and he's up in his senior years now, really senior years, not my senior years, but we're talking 90s. And so he's thinking, well, I can't produce. I know my wife sure can't produce. We all know the story. So he takes one of his concubines and disobeys God. But then God eventually gives him a son through his 90-year-old wife. And at the age of 12, God says, go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. What? How can that possibly make any sense? How? Well, Abraham had a trained mind. And there was no anguish. If you ever hear somebody talk about the anguish of Abraham, don't believe it for a moment. If there was any anguish, it should have been when he laid with Ishmael, or when he laid with Hagar. Thank you, good Bereans. If there was any anguish, it would have been then. Man, I really blew this. I disobeyed God. I had no faith in God. So I think he learned a lesson. Hebrews 11 tells us, the great faith chapter, that Abraham by faith just got up, next point, pew, off he went. Because God had spoken to his heart. And it always will surpass or supersede what's going on up here. It will be affirmed by you and I, when we're grounded in the Word of God, but He always speaks here first. And then the trained mind affirms. And so lastly, verse 14, what is the underlying purpose of the Holy Spirit? It's exactly what Jesus attested to in John 17, 4. That great, now He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He's praying, and He's in anguish. I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. What is the underlying purpose of the Holy Spirit? Is to bring God glory. What is the underlying purpose of your life? To bring God glory. What is the underlying purpose of every believer in Jesus Christ? To bring God glory. How? By transforming us into the image and the person of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.